I was waiting on God while we were worshiping. I said, well, what are we going to talk about? And he reminded me of that such a strange scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And it's the scripture where Paul, who as Saul the Pharisee, had been highly educated as a theologian and was an extremely erudite speaker, teacher, man of great wisdom and great understanding. And in the scripture, Paul says to the church at Corinth, he says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, whether it was the Holy Ghost who gave it to him or not, we don't know. And he says, a messenger of Satan. So it clearly wasn't a sort of holy thorn. And he said, three times he asked the Lord to remove the thorn. And the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So this said to one of the most brilliant minds of the time, Paul, I need you to remember for all time that on your own you are nothing. But I am enough for you. And the Lord just said that to me as I was waiting on him in the worship. And the Lord said, I am enough for everybody in this room. The Lord asked the question, what did any of us do to become saved, to become born again? We couldn't even believe the gospel with our own best effort. What did we do? We actually did nothing to achieve it. He did all of it. When he died on the cross, he did all of it. When we got filled with the Holy Ghost, Jesus baptized us in the Spirit. He did all of it. So what the heck are we doing thinking we need to help him out? Why do we think God needs us to give him a hand when he has already done everything? When there is nothing left to be done, why do we think that the God of all the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who enabled us to believe in the first place, the one who's holding the entire universe in the hollow of his hand, the one who knows every hair in your head this morning and every other person on the earth, why on earth would we think we need to help him out? You see, we're born in cultures which put a high value on performance, and a high value on effort, and a high value on what we can do. So we will look at people who will achieve great things with massive admiration and say, what a great man, politician, architect, whatever they might be. And we'll be filled with admiration for their incredible achievement because we put high value on that. But we don't put much value on no effort. In fact, in our minds, we're rather disparaging about people who appear to make no effort. And we look at them as if to say, well, they don't really matter. And then we come into this kingdom. And in this kingdom, we have a whole mixture. We have incredibly gifted orators and speakers and theologians like Pastor Colin, who have the most extraordinary ability to communicate the truths of the gospel. But he's a remarkable man because he told me, I worked with him for 8 years, and he told me that when he was in Luton, when he first became a vicar at St. Hugh's, that he used to go into into the church on a Sunday, on a Saturday night, and preach his entire sermon to a mirror and correct every mistake he could possibly have made. And then he would get up on Sunday morning and he would, having rehearsed the sermon so well, he could deliver it absolutely brilliantly. And the people looked bored and started going to sleep. Then they decided to start a Sunday evening meeting. And he never prepared anything for that. He turned up at the meeting and he said to the Lord, well, I don't know what you want to do, so it's over to you. It's your meeting. And the evening service started to grow and grow and grow, and they were burgeoning and bursting at the seams. And he had no preparation whatsoever as to what he was going to say when he got there. And eventually, the Lord said to him, do you see what I can do when you don't rely on yourself? So what are you preparing for the morning for? So he did the same thing, and the morning started to grow as well on Sunday mornings. And eventually he got to the place where a great move of God had started in Luton, and people were being healed. Since they actually said for 15 months, every single person who needed healing was healed for that period. People had constructive, reconstructive miracles. Parts, body parts grew where they had not been before. And this man did this miraculous man. He said in his own, he just felt absolutely insecure and uncomfortable with people. He didn't quite know how to feel comfortable around people. So all he did is he got up and locked into God and said whatever God gave him. And then the world got to find out about this man. He wrote his first book, When the Spirit Comes. And Australia and South Africa and all over the world began to hear about Colin Urquhart and said, come over, we've got a conference, come and speak at it. And he would turn up and he'd get on the platform and he'd look at the names of the other speakers, and there'd be some of the giants that he'd admired. So he said, I better start preparing my sermons and start doing some work on them to at least stack up against these theologians I'm with. And the Lord said to him, if you do that, it's over to you. And so he didn't prepare. And to this day, he prepares his heart before the Lord, but he doesn't prepare what he's going to speak. And Dot and I started his television ministry, and we used to film him every week. We used to film, is it 2 programs a week? And they were on the God Channel, and we would set up the set, get everybody there, and we get everything ready, get him on the set, and I'd say, well, what are you talking about? And he says, I don't know. Start the cameras, and we'll find out. And the amazing thing was that he had to speak for 20 minutes. And he finished the last point on the last second of the 20th minute. Every time. We never had to edit it. We never had to retake. He always did it the first time. And when we said, how amazing, he said, the Holy Ghost does it. I don't do it. So guys, why do we get so bothered and concerned and hit up about trying to get things to happen on the earth that God said he would do anyway? Why are we so stirred up in our hearts? Or why are we so defeated in ourselves thinking, well, I am only so weak and so little and so unable to do anything, when he does it all? Why do we feel so inadequate in our lives when he is so totally able to do this? Amen. And I think it's for one simple little reason. We put a high value on performance, and including our own. And my performance will equal God responding to me in a positive way. But you know, all of us were lost sinners until Jesus revealed himself to us. And he opened our eyes and our ears and enabled us to understand we needed saving. We didn't know it. And some of us were going to church, and we'd been going to church for years, but we didn't know. And all we thought was this church business had to be kept going for some reason. And suddenly, out of the blue, our hearts got changed and we met Jesus Christ. Jesus was amazing because he said, on his own, the Son can do nothing. There is no less than nothing. The Son of God claimed that on his own he could do nothing. But he said, everything I do is my Father speaking through me. Every miracle you see is my Father working through me. So what makes you think that you have to make anything happen yourself? God said to me tonight, you have to be like you live in the eye of a storm. There could be a hurricane raging about you, winds up to 400 kilometers an hour on the outer periphery, but in the midst of the hurricane, it is calm. Do you know that you don't even have faith on your own? He had to give you the faith you have. You couldn't believe without what he gave you. You couldn't make yourself believe. He needed to give you the faith. And what he's looking for tonight is not our performance. He is looking for a relationship with you. The Holy Ghost, when you got filled with the Holy Spirit, he made our spirits alive so that we would connect to the Spirit of God, who would stand in the presence of the Father and the Son and come and interpret to us what the Father and the Son are saying and doing. And all we had to do was listen. Do you know, when Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He wasn't referring to his physical self. If you read the whole discourse, and you read the portion before, he was saying, talking about his Judaism and his reliance on his knowledge of theology. And then he says, I, Paul the Jew, the Pharisee, was crucified with Christ. That man no longer lives. The man who now lives by faith in the Son of God. Not by faith in his theological understanding. Not by faith in his great intellect. But by faith in the Son of God who loved him and saved him. Brothers and sisters, you are sitting here tonight with the most incredible potential in your life. Because Jesus said, greater things than these will you do because I am going to the Father. And we disqualify ourselves because we say, I don't have the faith of Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland or whoever your superhero might be. Which is a lie, because you have a measure of faith being given to you. You were intended to alter things on the earth, not to be altered by the earth. You were put here to reign and reveal heaven on the earth. You were not put here to be a victim. You were not put here to be kicked in the teeth. You were put here to demonstrate that there is a God and how great he is. Not because you're so clever or you're so wise or so bright, but because you're so nothing and he is so everything. And all this journey is about is to bring us to the place where we realize that one thing. On my own, I can do nothing. But Christ in me is the hope of glory, not me. And I don't have to change this world in my strength and my power, but Christ in me changes this world. The powerful Holy Ghost at work in me shifts situations where I am. So why are we trying so hard to somehow shape up that one day before I hop the twig or clip the clogs or whatever you want to say, one day before I get to the end, I will do one thing to demonstrate that what Jesus said is true. When you can do it right now. Right now, there's not a person in this room who can't raise a dead person. There's not a person in this room who can't heal the sick, raise up the cripples, cast out demons. There is not one person in this room. Except that you disqualify yourself because of what you believe and consider that it's up to you. And so what we do is we have this sterile kingdom that has got all the potential but remains locked up because we believe that it's up to us to change it. I want to say to you, no matter what you're facing in your life tonight, no matter what heartache, problem, difficulty you have, I want you to know that Christ in you is greater than the problem. Amen. If you could stop trying to work it out, if you could stop trying to solve it, and if you could tap into Christ in you. You know, you don't even have to have a degree to do this stuff. You don't need to have a theological understanding. You just need to believe. What did Jesus say the work of the kingdom is? To believe. That's all you've got to do. You don't have to be erudite, eloquent. You just have to believe. And you will shift this earth. Can you imagine what would happen if only about 50 odd people here suddenly decided to believe? To activate that little measure of faith that's been put inside you as a gift from God, which enabled you to believe. And you looked at your problem, and you looked at the unsurmountable odds that are stacked against you, and you said, not on my watch, you will not do this. I, in Christ Jesus, will change the circumstances, and I will release the promises of God in the circumstances. I am not a victim. I am victorious in Christ. Amen. And it's time, brothers and sisters, we stopped letting our enemy kick us in the teeth and say, you are nothing. You don't even have a degree in theology. Pastor Collins says when he went to, what's it, King's College in London, he got a degree in unbelief. You need to believe. First, on my own, I can do nothing. But Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ can change anything in me. How? Ask Him. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. Ask Him what He wants to do in your life, what He wants to do in your circumstances. Ask Him what He wants to do about your unbelieving children, your unbelieving spouse, your unbelieving parents. What does He want to do? You don't need a degree to find that out. You just need to listen to Him. And when He realizes we've come to the point where we're not dependent on ourselves anymore, and we're saying, without You, I can do nothing. So please come and do what I need You to do. Tell me, show me what You want me to do. It begins to happen. You know, there's not one person here tonight who couldn't go off to the most furthermost far-flung part of the earth and reveal this truth. You could preach this anywhere if you could just get past yourself and say, I have always struggled with this. I am not comfortable speaking in front of people. I have a stammer, or whatever it might be. I don't even remember the scriptures. Doesn't hold God back. Doesn't. When Jesus left the earth, when He finally rose, He left the whole church in the hands of 11 uneducated men. Fishermen, tax collectors, nothing much else. If the Son of God had that much confidence in His Spirit who was coming and would enter into their lives, could we not be confident as well in the same Spirit that is in us? Who wants to raise you up? You see, what your circumstances want to do is defeat you in your understanding and lead you to believe that you can do nothing. That you are a victim And that all these things are there to keep you from ever rising up. It's a little bit like the Israelites when they'd left Egypt and they came to the Red Sea. And they stopped at the Red Sea and they looked back and they saw the Egyptian army pursuing them. There was nothing they could do. Because they'd come out of a mindset of slavery, they immediately started to grumble and say, oh, has God brought us into the desert only to die here? Wouldn't it have been better if we'd stayed being slaves? And God said to Moses, please raise your hand over the ocean. Praise God for Moses. It took 40 years in the desert for him to come to that place. When he realized that the education he got as a prince in Egypt, which would have been the best education the world knew at the time, the exalted position, the incredible authority, the culture that he was raised in, was of no value to him when he stood at the Red Sea with the Egyptian army following, approaching. It didn't add up to a row of beans. And he said, God, what do you want to do? And God said, just reach your hand over the ocean. He didn't ask him to even ask a million people to join him putting their hands out in case his wasn't enough. Just your hands is enough, Moses. I'll just do it with your hand. And instantly the ocean parts. And this man who had zero confidence even to go and speak to Pharaoh, and he said, can my brother Aaron not speak? I'm not really good at speaking. I've forgotten all my education. And God said, that's why I can use you now. You're just about ready. And that ocean opened and the people went through on dry ground. When they got to the far side, God said to him, now extend your staff over that same ocean. And the Egyptian army had come into the middle of the ocean, and you know the rest of the story. The sea closed over and that was the end of them. And basically what happened was this man who forgot all his education, one man, trusted God and held out his hand. He didn't. He could have panicked and said, what are we going to do? The Egyptian army's coming. What are we going to do? And God said, stretch out your hand. God's word to you and me tonight is stretch out your hand. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Stretch out your hand. Your enemy wants to make you feel like you're caught between the sea and an approaching army and they're going to kill you for sure. But you decide, not on my watch, you don't do this. I am a son or a daughter of God. I am not a victim. I am not sent to be trampled on. I am sent to triumphantly follow Jesus. So I will stretch out my hand. I need no degree to do that. I need no theological understanding. It's a simple act. It's the faith behind it that matters, and that's it. Took a man with the best education, 40 years to forget his education, so he could reach his hand across the sea and save a nation. Guys, it's time for us to put far less value on what we are or what we've done or what our natural ability is or what we think about ourselves, because on our own we can do nothing. And it doesn't matter tonight how big your problem is. If you truly believe Jesus when he says all things are possible. All things are possible. I don't care how big your problem is. All things are possible. And it might look initially like it's not working. It might go for a little while like it's not coming right. But you stay unshakably in that place of all things are possible. and you will see God come through for you. And you will see the power of God at work in your life. Whether you ever read the Old Testament, whether you ever read Revelations, whether you were born again 5 minutes ago or not, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, you are a nation changer. We set up this kind of scale of authority in the kingdom. Well, you know, who are you? You've only been saved 2 years. You know, who are you to speak and tell me what God is saying? But it's the Holy Ghost that speaks. I've been saved 40 years, so surely what I say matters more. Can you see what we do? Can you see how our minds work? It's time to get your eyes off yourself and off everybody else in the room. It's time to stop looking at your problem and saying, for me, this problem is very difficult. For me, the problems facing Britain are very difficult. Yes, they are. But for God, they're not a problem. He doesn't see it as a problem. He doesn't know that word. He simply looks and he says, all I'm waiting for are a few of my sons and daughters to rise up and believe me, and I'll begin to change the nation. I'll begin to shift things on this planet. I'll be able to shift things in this nation that you will never believe I could shift if you will only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. He knows that we are made of dust because he fashioned us. He knows that. He knows we can't do it. So why would he expect you to do it? But he knows his own power, who is at work in you right at this moment, the Holy Ghost. He's no doubt about his power. And all he's waiting for is you and I to catch up with that bit of truth. He knows. And he's waiting for you and I to find that out. Like being in the middle of a hurricane sometimes. Everything is whirling around you. Everybody's making a noise. People are demanding things of you. People are behaving badly around you. You can remain unaffected. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not on my watch. You're not going to do this on my watch. Not while I have got my eyes open. You're not going to do this. I am going to start shifting things around here. Because I am going to reveal the glory of God on the earth. Guys, God is more than a Christmas Day and an Easter Day service. A Good Friday service. God is more than that. But this church thinks, this world thinks out there, that we are the most pathetic little group of people who haven't a clue what we're doing and who come religiously twice a year, some of them, to do their pay homage at Easter and Christmas and say, that's it. That's what the church is. Well, I think it's time we stopped them thinking that and started saying, no, you got this wrong. You misunderstand me completely. I am going to reveal to you the glory of heaven on the earth. You believe it? Amen. You can do it. Amen. If you believe it, you can have it. Jesus, here we are, Lord. On our own, we can do nothing, and we thank you for that truth. Thank you right now that you understand each one of our circumstances. You understand how weak and unchangeable our circumstances are to our natural capability. You may be financing, Lord, some of us are facing financial pressure. Some are facing relational pressures. Some are facing unanswered prayer that they've longed for to see the answer. Father, here we are. We choose to believe tonight. We dare to believe that you are greater than these problems. We dare to believe this. And we ask you to invade our lives, invade our circumstances, invade every obstacle that stands raised against us tonight. Invade our disappointments. Invade our feelings of hurt and our feelings of inadequacy. Invade them, Lord, invade them. We choose tonight to die. Like Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. I want to crucify my dependence on my education, my skill, my own personal natural abilities, the people around me, my money in the bank. And I choose to transfer all of my hope unto you, Jesus. I choose to stop trying to make this work for myself. I choose to stop trying and give in and let you take over. And I come to say the same thing as Jesus. On my own, I can do nothing. Thank you, Jesus, so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your power that's at work in us right now, in this moment, in this second. There is so much power in this room, it'll make a nuclear explosion look tame. If we will only believe, all things are possible. Only believe. Now, for some of us, it might be that we've got to come to the point of saying, Lord, like Paul, I put on the altar my education, I put on the altar my natural skills, my own abilities, my ideas about what is worthwhile and not worthwhile. And I want to stand like Moses before you and say, Lord, unless you do something now, we've sunk. But I trust that you'll do something now. Lord, I want to be like that. I want to be like Moses. I want to stop depending on what I think I can do. And I want to start depending on you. Because you are awesome. In this place. Thank you, Jesus. I want to ask you to do one thing. Whatever this obstacle is that's standing before you, it could be that you feel you can't speak, you don't speak. It feels, makes you feel that you're paralyzed with fear in certain circumstances. I want to ask you to take those circumstances and place them on the altar. Let them be consumed by the fire of God because they called dependence on myself. And say, so I leave them there and I ask you to consume them. I make a decision today to stop believing in what I can do. And I start to believe what you can do in my circumstances. I come to the end of myself and I start to live for you. Just like Moses had to go to the back end of the desert for 40 years. And in that place, be stripped of all his confidence in his own ability. Some of us are going to have to go through a process where God changes what we believe about ourselves. And we fully appreciate what Jesus did when he said, when my spirit comes in you, you will have power to be my witnesses. You will have power when my spirit comes on you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord laughs. The Lord laughs. The Lord laughs. He laughs at the best attempt of the enemy because he knows the end from the beginning. He knows what he did when he created you and I and breathed his breath into our father Adam. He knows what his breath can do. The Holy Ghost in you is powerful. Hallelujah. Thank you. Some of you may have to give up being impressed with people because God's not impressed with them. Some of you may have to stop following a certain course or direction with your life or course of action because you thought that was the answer. When Christ in you is the answer, the hope of glory. Put it on the altar. Every one of your heroes, put them on the altar. Everyone who's intimidated you and told you you can't, put it on the altar. Some of you in your school, children, people said, you will never amount to anything. Put it on the altar. Put that lie on the altar. It doesn't belong to you. Jesus is not caged in by lies from people. Jesus is God eternal. And he is not held back by any lie of the enemy. And this day, choose to stop believing the one about whom Jesus said he is the father of lies. When he speaks his native tongue. Don't accept what he says. Listen to the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. Listen. Listen to the Spirit. What's he saying to you? What's he speaking into your heart right now? What's he stirring in you right now? Thank you, Jesus. A few years ago, I was in America and I met a little lady with purplish hair. You know, and they go gray and they go purple. And she came from Oklahoma. And I said, oh, wow, that's where all the hurricanes are. She says, yes. I said, have you ever been troubled by a hurricane? Have you ever seen one? A tornado, right? Forgive me, a tornado. I said, oh, yes. She says, the first thing you got to know is the color of the sky. It'll tell you when a tornado is forming. And then I keep watch. And she says, as this tornado approaches, if it comes anywhere near my house, now really she was about 5 foot tall with purple hair. She said, I stand on my front step and I say, in the name of Jesus, lift! And she says, it lifts and goes over my house. She understood. Christ in her is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord together. Praise you, Jesus. Can we have the musicians up here? Thank you. Next time, the enemy comes. No matter how he's dressed, either as a tornado or as a personal threat. Stand there. Get your feet placed. Say, not today, you're not going to do this. In the name of Jesus, I tell you, you will submit to the living God now, or lift and get out of my way. Amen. Not on my watch. Let's praise the one who gave us this freedom. Let's exalt him. Let's stand together and just begin to speak in the Spirit this wonderful language. Shambo sando rebe rukasara barabori ababondi. Now together let's say this. Jesus, forgive me for trusting myself in my own abilities, and forgive me for not believing you. Forgive me, Holy Spirit, that I never allowed you to lead me all the time. Tonight I make the decision to yield my life to you. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to take control of my life. I yield to you everything that I don't believe, every fear, every perceived threat. And I ask you, by your power, to take control and drive them out of my life. In the name of Jesus. And I declare this night that by the power of Jesus Christ, I am more than an overcomer. I choose to believe this night that he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. From this night, I decide to no longer be afraid. Because God did not give me a spirit of fear. He gave me a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And I choose to believe that. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Severable. Thank you, Jesus. Severabarandarabashi. Go mark tonight on your calendar, because I believe you're going to see changes. I believe you're going to pray in a different way. I believe that things that have troubled your life are going to start moving away. I believe that things are going to go out of your way and you're going to move with new freedom. When you pray, you're going to feel a sense of life. You're going to feel the power of the Spirit at work in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember, guys, not on my watch. It's not happening here. Jesus is Lord of this place. Amen.